altinterview.com.
Hello to a new episode of the Alti Interview and Crypto Talk. I am Christian Salo and the host of the show. Please welcome Alexandre Schmidt, Equity Index Manager at CoinShares. Alexandre is the driving force behind CoinShares' Bitcoin mining ETF and brings deep first-hand knowledge of the companies shaping the global mining industry. In this conversation, we explore the investment case for Bitcoin miners, the dynamics currently reshaping the sector, and what investors should be watching next. Hello, Alexandre. How are you doing today?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me around.
Pleasure that you're here. Let's start. Publicly traded mining companies are increasingly generating revenue from AI and high-performance computing, HPC data centers, rather than from Bitcoin. Where does the sector actually stand today, measured by realized revenues rather than announced contracts? And how reliable is the forecast of up to 70% by end of 2026 from your mining report?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you. Again, thank you very much for the time and for having me around. Well, I think, yeah, initially, AI revenue is taking definitely a bigger share of revenues from these miners. We just had results from Core Scientific a few days ago. And they had about $120 million of AI-related revenues and around $20-odd million from mining. So you can see that the proportion is flipping around quite heavily already in favor of AI. Now, that's obviously not the case with all Bitcoin miners. We need to remember that Core Scientific was the pioneer with these contracts, having signed the first contract in June 2024, you know, they are the more mature player there and they are going, you know, a bit faster. You know, you have a few other companies that should be getting online at some point soon, you know, the likes of TerraWolf, they already have some revenue, Cypher, Hut 8, Applied Digital, actually, might be a bit earlier as well. But to be fair, it's not all companies that have contracts yet. So, you know, for a very big proportion of miners, Bitcoin mining still makes up for the vast majority of their revenues. I think I forgot to mention iron as well, which is a very important player in this space. So, yeah, I mean, 60%, 70% by the end of the year, I think now maybe looks a little bit optimistic from an AI revenue perspective. But, you know, the way this is ramping up is quite quickly. So, you know, I think anywhere around 50% plus, I will not be surprised.
Okay. Well, we just talked about the contract partners in the AI sector. How do you assess the concentration risk and what happens to the miner's valuation if a key customer drops out or something got changes in the contract?
Yeah, I was actually just talking to around the team with the team this morning about this. And I mean, yes, the risk is there, of course. You know, if you look at my list, I have I'm tracking these deals, right? I have it right here with me. You know, it's Bluestack, AWS, CoreWeave, AMD, and that's, you know, pretty much it. You know, then you have Google, Meta. It might be Meta, some that are not announced, which, you know, it's probably hyperscalers as well, given the size of these contracts. So yeah, there is definitely a concentration risk, but I think it's concentrated around very, very high credit worthy clients as opposed to, you know, riskier ones. So, you know, AAAs of corporate credit. So I wouldn't be worried about that, those contracts falling through. The issue, the bigger risk that I see actually is execution risk.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because these miners, well, first of all, they're not used to having clients, you know, Bitcoin miners, you know, they were operating solo. They were, you know, they didn't have to deal with SLAs, with, you know, specs from clients, etc. You know, the build for each of these companies, each of these customers is different, right? It's quite bespoke in a way. So, you know, it's not like Bitcoin mining that you can, you know, pick up a design and replicate it several times. I think this is quite a different operation, obviously, with a much higher degree of complexity as well. So, you know, you have the 5-9s that you need to adhere to. There might be penalties in your contracts. And yeah, if you don't execute correctly, it might fall through. And I think that's the biggest risk that there is, as opposed to the concentration risk.
Okay. We talked about concentration. We talked before about companies and AI. Let's talk about infrastructure and energy. Access to energy is these companies' true competitive advantage, I guess. How stable is this advantage from a regulatory perspective, especially given growing political pressure on electricity consumption and grid connections in the US? And which locations do you consider viable in the long term, whatever long term is?
Yeah, I think this can be a very, very long topic, actually, because there's so much nuance, you know, about the impact of these operations, where the people are using AI consciously. Some companies are already starting to limit tokens. So, you know, AI might be deployed to higher value tasks. So, you know, the demand for energy is not going to go on forever, right? But you do have companies ramping up energy generation. You had NextEra Energy, one of the constituents of another product that we run at CoinShares, you know, signed a big contract a few days ago to expand the generation portfolio. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, companies are still adapting to that. When you talk about regulation, the US is still quite a friendly jurisdiction. It's getting a bit stricter in two areas that I'm familiar with. One of them is Texas.
Yes.
So Texas is implementing a new review process for new power contracts. The existing ones, the approved ones, are not affected, but they are approving now in batches, and this can take up to a year. And, you know, they will give, I think they're giving 4-year batches every time they approve. So you need to get into that, otherwise you're getting the back of the queue, your project might be delayed. But I don't think it's in the US's interest to fall behind that, right? And I think one of the advantages that the US has over many other countries is that it's a very diverse country, right? They have a lot of oil and gas. They have a lot of wind. They have a massive solar potential in the Sun Belt. So, you know, if they need to, and they have the capital as well. So if they need to ramp up their generation capacity, I think there's no other better country that will be able to do that. Another part of the US that's issued a moratorium on new power permits has been New York State, and that affects particularly TeraWulf. They are quite big in New York, but that's a 1-year moratorium, and I think they have, you know, enough in their plate to develop their what's already been approved there. But yeah, you're gonna have those jurisdictions. You know, New York is a particular case in which, you know, it's quite a densely populated state, not as resource rich as Texas, for example, or other parts of the country. So, you know, yeah, that might naturally happen in these perhaps more, you know, Dem-leaning states as well. In terms of sustainability going forward, I see the US, the middle of the country, you know, the Midwest, the Dakotas, that part of the country seems to be quite friendly for power. You have Applied Digital operating there big time. And you can see other companies entering that space. You know, the population density is quite low in those spaces, and the energy potential is quite high. So even though they are far away from metropolitan areas, I think you need to understand that for AI, at least, there are two types of AI workloads. One of them is training. One of them is inference. Inference is when you throw a prompt in your AI, you know, in your Claude, GPT, whatever you use, and you expect a reply. So that's where you need low latency, and that's where you need the data centers near metropolitan areas. Mm. Whereas the training part of AI, which actually requires more advanced chips and GPUs, they are a lot more location agnostic. So, you know, those geography will lend themselves quite well for that. That's from an AI perspective. If you talk about mining, then the picture changes quite drastically, I would say. You know, mining is completely location agnostic, completely even power source / grid agnostic. You know, it can plug in a miner to a wind turbine that only generates 30% of the day, and that will not be an issue, obviously, from an ROIC perspective, yes, but from an operating perspective, no, as opposed to AI, you know, you would need power pretty much 100% of the time. So that will not be workable. So I think that's perhaps where these two types of power use are differing, diverging. And I think that's, you know, why I don't see many new industrial scale miners coming along anymore, at least in the US. And I think it's going to remain a more fragmented application of power as opposed to AI that's going to be a lot more, you know, higher scale industrial specialized.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that overview. That raises a dramatic question for investors or allocators. And it is, do these securities belong in the crypto budget, in technology, or is it infrastructure? How do your index criteria address that?
I think it's a bit of everything, a bit of the three at the moment. Specifically about the index and ETF mining, the mining one, we... Any company with a presence in Bitcoin mining is eligible. So, you know, even like I said at the beginning, Core Scientific now having, you know what, now less than 15% of revenues coming from AI, from Bitcoin mining, they still qualify. They're still, you know, perfectly a company that we can have in the product. That's fine. Most companies, like I said, you know, are still 70, 80%, 90%, even 100% Bitcoin mining. But yeah, these... hybrids, you know, I think in the end of the day, miners, even before AI, they used to tell the story to investors that they were infrastructure plays. They were a way, a means of building power shells, power infrastructure, and monetizing those watts, right? And one of the ways of monetizing that was through Bitcoin mining, and now is through AI, and perhaps in the future something else. So right now, I think they're a mix of them all. As they, there will be companies that will switch 100% AI, and I think that's natural. And you know, for our purposes of the index, they might not be eligible anymore. But you know, then this is a whole other discussion, you know, about hash rate, what's going to happen. And whether they're going to be new players, they're going to come in to fill in that gap, etc. So, yeah, you know, right now, I would say a bit of the three. In the future, I think it's more likely to be, again, to diverge, and you have, you know, two different types of businesses monetizing these megawatts.
So let's summarize quickly. It is all about energy. It's all about hardware, GPUs. And NVIDIA is still dominating the business of the GPUs. Are you seeing any other player picking up on terms of GPU?
AMD for sure.
Yeah.
No question about it. I think they are, you know, quickly getting very close to NVIDIA. As a matter of fact, they've been doing really well in terms of performance year to date. AMD. And I think it's a business that really needs to be watched very closely, because I think this monopoly from NVIDIA is going to be over soon, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about that, because NVIDIA is still belonging on the CUDA standard, which is in the developer community still quite a good basic. Yeah. And AMD doesn't fill that. But I agree, AMD is definitely picking up. Any third player?
Not that I can immediately think about. You know, you could perhaps see some dark horses outside running, trying to develop something. You know, ARM, I think it's quite a clever business. But, you know, the likes of Intel, I think, are out of question. They've fallen behind too much. And I think the Asian players are still quite a while behind, and they are better in the foundry business rather than designing chips.
Okay. Anything you like to add to our listeners, watchers?
I think one of the things that investors need to be very, very wary of in this industry is leverage. And mining, whereas mining used a lot of equity as financing, and back in the day, people used to say that they were not Bitcoin miners, they used to be shareholder miners. They, you know, as they switch to becoming AI companies or hybrid companies, you need to look at leverage. For example, the latest numbers from Core Scientific, their debt levels doubled, right? They went from 2 to 4 billion. Between, you still don't have the figures, but between Q4 2025 and Q1 2026, only among Bitcoin miners, the ones that I track, the debt levels have gone up by $7 billion, right? And we're talking about a total market cap, combined market cap for these companies of about 60. So in one quarter, leverage went up by 10%, or debt to equity increased by 10%. So Yeah, that's something, you know, debt is a lot easier to raise when you are a company that has a more predictable stream of revenue, which is with AI and HPC. However, I think there is a risk that these guys overlevered. And with talks about interest rate hikes, you could soon, you know, see that snowball get out of control quicker than you actually think.
So well, that's a very good point, actually. And we recommend to our listeners, look into the history books, what happens to companies or economies that are overleveraged. But that brings us to the end of the episode. Alexandra, thank you very much for your time and for these insight into the Bitcoin mining industry or the mining sector and its transformation towards AI and HPC infrastructure and the thinking behind your index approach. To our listeners, you can find this interview, further analysis and all other ALTI formats at alti.de and on our LinkedIn channel. If you do not want to miss the next episode, subscribe to the ALTI interview and Crypto Talk on your preferred podcast platform. We support them almost all. And please note that this conversation is for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice or an offer to buy or sell financial instruments. If you do so, that's on your own risk. My name is Christian Salo. Thank you for listening. Take care and see you next time.
Thank you.
ALTI.com, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. ALTI.com.